The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer and the Washington Post. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. Now, these are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we feature part two of a two-part series about traveling by train. And on our program, we're going to continue with Richard Stradling's article, Riding the Piedmont, How to Explore Nine Cities from North Carolina's Own Passenger Train. Now, his article appeared in the June 19, 2022 online edition of the News and Observer. And as you may recall from our previous episode, the Piedmont passenger train is owned by the North Carolina Department of Transportation and is operated by Amtrak. It runs daily between Raleigh and Charlotte, making nine stops each way. Raleigh, Durham, Burlington, and Greensboro were highlighted in last week's Armchair Traveler. And as you will recall, the article includes places to see near the depots. So we're going to resume this morning by checking out downtown Greensboro. We had to leave there because of time last week. And we're going to go from the train depot within a half-mile radius. And we're actually going to be about two blocks away on Elm Street, which is located in the heart of the city. And we begin. Downtown Greensboro has several interesting shops. They include Elsewhere, a three-story former thrift store converted into a living museum, international artist residency, and collaborative learning laboratory. This is at 606 South Elm Street. Then there's Scuppernong Books, Books, Wine, and Community, located at 304 South Elm. And for local souvenirs, there's the Lee Wrangler Hometown Studio. It's an outlet of sorts, as Richard writes. That's also at 603 South Elm. Now, you'll find plenty to eat and drink downtown as well in Greensboro. That includes two breweries, Natty Greens and South End Brewery. There's also a distillery, Fainting Goat Spirits. Three more breweries are just a mile or more away, Joymonger's Brewing Company, Pig Pounder Brewery, and Odin Brewing Company. Now, you can learn more information about Greensboro and the downtown area around the depot for the train station. DowntownGreensboro.org is where you go online. That's DowntownGreensboro.org. Finally, First National Bank Field, home of the single-A Greensboro Grasshoppers, is about eight-tenths of a mile from the train station. That's at 408 Belmead Street. Now, the hotels that are in walking distance, and again, they use walking distance as one-half mile or less. Historic Magnolia House, a four-bedroom and breakfast, is located on Gurrell Street. It was listed in the Green Book, the guide of establishments that would serve black lodgers during the Jim Crow segregation. Then there's Haynes Bed and Breakfast on Gurrell, Hampton Inn and Suites on West McGee, and then the Biltmore Hotel Greensboro on West Washington Street. And this building, by the way, 26-room hotel, built in 1903. And just beyond a half-mile walk are two big chain hotels, the Marriott Greensboro Downtown, that's on North Green, and the Hyatt Place Greensboro on North Eugene Street. Now, a short ride away, Greensboro Science Center, this is a science museum and zoo. It opened in 1957. It's about 5.5 miles north of the downtown area on Lawndale Drive. Then we have the Weatherspoon Art Museum on the UNC Greensboro campus. That's on Tate Street, about a mile west of downtown. Then there's the ACC Hall of Champions, a Hall of Fame and museum for Atlantic Coast Conference athletics, headquartered here for now because they've been talking about relocating. It's on Westgate City Boulevard, adjacent to the Greensboro Coliseum, which is about 2 miles west of downtown. And if you bring your bike, Greensboro is proud of its trail and greenway system. It includes 40 miles of mountain biking trails and many paved paths for cyclists. And for information about these trails, check out Greensboro-NC.gov. That's Greensboro-NC.gov. And you can check out these greenways and other activities. Now on to High Point. High Point was founded in 1859 at the point where the new North Carolina Railroad crossed the Western Plank Road. That's a mid-19th century highway. The city was named because it ostensibly sits at the highest elevation of 938 feet along the route of the railroad. Most people associate High Point with furniture, with most of it now made overseas, but the city has kept its furniture market, 2 5-day events held each April and October that draw tens of thousands of retailers, interior designers, journalists, and others in the industry to see the latest designs and make deals. First held in 1909, the High Point Market has taken over downtown, with most buildings devoted to showrooms that are locked most of the year and not accessible to the public, even when they're open. Right in the middle of this city sits the city's handsome train station, built well before downtown became a giant trade show venue. Visitors who explore on foot will find few landmarks nearby, as well as a nascent effort to create a more year-round center of activity anchored by a minor league ballpark and a hosiery mill turned makerspace. There's also an effort called High Point X Design, or HPXD, a community of designers and retailers who are keeping their showrooms open year-round, though sometimes sporadically or by appointment. One of them is Golden Oldies Antiques, which sells all manner of old oddities. It's on West Broad Avenue. Now, the station. Passengers don't actually see the High Point station from the train. That's because the train's tracks pass through a trench dug in the 1930s, so trains would not impede traffic on downtown streets. Disembarking passengers take stairs or an elevator out of the trench to the brick station with a red tile roof. It was built at street level in 1907. After being shuttered for several years, the station was fully restored in 2003. You'll find it at 100 West High Avenue. Now, within walking distance, and again, that's within a half mile, since you're here and presumably not on one of the 10 market days a year, in parenthesis, take a walk around the buildings that house the furniture showrooms. Few downtowns in America are as devoted to a single purpose as this one. A few landmarks you might look for include the 8-foot bronze statue of jazz saxophonist John Coltrane, who grew up here, and the historic marker and plaque marking the spot where, inspired by the lunch counter sit-in up the road in Greensboro, black high school students began their own sit-in at a white-only Woolworth's lunch counter in February 1960. The store on South Wren Street was replaced by a large hotel that's now closed. The Coltrane statue is across the street from the High Point Theater and the Theater Art Galleries, which has rotating exhibits. In Dekishk, well, check out the world's largest chest of drawers on North Hamilton Street. On the way, in addition to numerous locked furniture stores, you'll pass a local brewery, Paddled South Brewing Company, and the Doghouse, where locals have been getting lunch. And by the way, it's only open 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and that's been since 1942. And both of these places are on North Main Street in High Point. The city's attempt to draw people downtown is centered on Truist Point, which is a 4,500-seat home of the High Point Rockers of the Independent Athletic League. You'll find this at 301 North Elm Street. The stadium is part of the Social District, a designated area where people can buy alcohol in a special cup and move from place to place. That includes Plank Street Tavern and Stock and Grain Assembly, the Triad's first food hall, opening soon outside the center field gate at Truist Point. Hotels within walking distance. The downtown hotel that for years served as a hub during the furniture market has closed. It was variously a Radisson, a Best Western, and most recently the Red Lion. There is talk of reviving the hotel, but for now the building stands empty. The Woolworth's historic marker is on the back side. That leaves two motels, the Townhouse Inn at 400 South Main and the Atrium Inn at 425 South Main, as well as Pandora's Manor Bed and Breakfast, 407 West High Avenue. The city's fanciest hotel, the J.H. Adams, is about a mile from the station at 1108 North Main. Now, a short ride away is the Nido and Mariana Covain Children's Museum, about a mile from the station at 200 Montlieu Avenue. High Point Museum, with exhibits on the city's history and furniture industry, is about 2 miles from downtown at 1859 East Lexington Avenue. And since it is High Point, Furnitureland South claims to be the world's largest furniture store, about 5.5 miles from the downtown at 5635 Riverdale Drive in Jamestown. Now, presumably, you won't have to take your purchases back with you on the train. Now, if you ride or bring your bike, you can get information about High Point's Greenway Trails at highpointnc.gov/1832. That's highpointnc.gov/1832. Now on to Salisbury. Founded in 1753, Salisbury is the oldest of the Piedmont stops, and the city preserves and celebrates its history more than any other. Salisbury has 5 local historic districts and 10 districts on the National Register of Historic Places and dozens of historic homes and buildings from the 19th and early 20th century. Many are within walking distance of the train station, and the city and Rowan County have developed themed walking tours to help visitors explore. Now, some may know Salisbury as the home of Food Lion and Cheerwine, though the headquarters of both companies are in business parks at the edge of town. The former Carolina Bottling Corporation building, where Cheerwine was made for decades, is just across the tracks from the station and now houses offices and condos. The city celebrates its local drink with the annual Cheerwine Festival each spring. Now about the station, the Southern Railway opened its new Salisbury Depot in 1908. The company hired prominent Southern architect Frank P. Milburn, and he chose the Spanish Mission style with tan bricks, a red tile roof, and gargoyles peering down from the corners of the main tower. After passenger service ended here in 1979, the building sat empty for years before the historic Salisbury Foundation bought it and began a series of renovations. The grand waiting room is now an event space, and much of the rest of the station is used for offices. The Amtrak office and small waiting room are in a corner of the building at 215 Depot Street. Now, within walking distance, the train station is 2 blocks from the Rowan County Visitor Center, where you can pick up a guide for the Salisbury Heritage Walking Tour. There isn't one online yet. It features 142 homes and other buildings in and around downtown. And while you're there, ask for a guide for the African American Heritage Trail, which includes directions to several sites downtown and information about the county's African American history. And get a map for the Salisbury History and Art Trail, which features sculptures, murals, and other works around the downtown that commemorate events in the city's history. The station is on the edge of the downtown business district, centered on Main and Ennis Streets, which has dozens of local stores and restaurants. The offerings are quirky and broad. Oxford and Lee, Men's and Women's Boutique, is next door to Lost and Found, offering vintage vinyl and smoking accessories. If you need something to read on the train, South Main Book Company at 110 South Main Street has a good selection. Now, if you're looking to try a cheer wine, try Hap's Grill on Main Street, where the menu consists of hot dogs, hamburgers, and more than a half dozen sodas, including 3 flavors of knee-high. Remember knee-high orange? Well, there are 2 museums near the station. The Waterworks Visual Arts Center has 5 galleries with changing exhibits, and the Rowan Museum of Local History housed in the 1850s County Courthouse. If you're looking for a place to sit for a while, try the Bell Tower Green, a public park with seating areas and waterfall and a playground, watched over by an 1891 brick bell tower of First Presbyterian Church. And for a piece of history that Salisbury is not proud of, you can walk past the home at 224 East Bank Street, the only surviving structure of the Confederate Civil War prison, where thousands of Union soldiers died of disease and malnutrition during the war. The house is not open to the public, but there is a marker out front. And for more information about downtown Salisbury, just go to downtownsalisburync.com, downtownsalisburync.com. Salisbury spelled, by the way, S-A-L-I-S-B-U-R-Y. Now, hotels within walking distance, there are none. That means within a half mile of the depot. There is a short ride away in nearby Spencer, the North Carolina Transportation Museum, both a historic site and museum, dedicated to all modes of getting around. It's housed in Spencer Shops, where Southern Railway maintained and repaired locomotives in the age of steam, about 3 miles from downtown Salisbury. And for other ideas, check out visitrowancountync.com. That's visitrowancountync.com. Rowan is spelled R-O-W-A-N. Now, if you bring your bike, Rowan County has identified 226 miles of more lightly traveled roads favored by cyclists that link cities, towns, and other points of interest. And for more information on those trails, again, check out visitrowancountync.com. Now on to Kannapolis. Kannapolis was the quintessential company town. Towel City, as it came to be known, was created for, and most of its history owned by Cannon Mills, the company James W. Cannon started here in the early 1900s. Cannon Mills built homes, streets, schools, a hospital, and YMCA. And in the 1930s, a downtown with stores and a movie theater for its workers. The company became the world's largest manufacturer of towels and linens and controlled the town until 1984, when residents voted to incorporate as a city. After two mergers and staggered overseas competition, the company declared bankruptcy and shuttered the old Cannon Mills factory in 2003, resulting in the loss of more than 4,000 jobs. The next year, billionaire David Murdoch, who had owned Cannon Mills for a while in the early 1980s, bought the complex at auction with the idea of establishing the North Carolina Research Campus, where university and private sector scientists could work on nutrition, food, and agriculture. The old factory complex was demolished in 2006, and Murdoch began building several large brick research buildings, now surrounded by vast lawns like a college campus that's not finished. The city retains its blue-collar feel, but is fast being discovered by commuters from the Charlotte area. Now, about the train station, Kannapolis Station was completed in 2004 and received a new canopy to cover passengers in 2013. The station is about a half mile down the tracks from the building it replaced, which Cannon Mills had built in 1939. It was torn down in 2020. It was at 201 South Main Street. Now, within walking distance, the station is on the edge of the downtown that Cannon Mills built, a collection of colonial revival-style buildings inspired by colonial Williamsburg. A notable exception is the Art Deco Gem Theater, which opened in 1936 and reopened in 1948 after being gutted by fire. The building's terracotta facade and neon marquee survived the fire, and the single-screen theater, which seats 900 people, has been in business ever since. Across the station is Dale Earnhardt Plaza, a memorial to the NASCAR racing legend who was born and raised here. A 9-foot-tall bronze statue of Earnhardt stands surrounded by bricks and benchmarkers paid for by fans. He was the man, the McCarthys, Haverhill, Massachusetts, reads one of those markers. It said the statue faces the start part of town where Earnhardt grew up and toward Idiot Circle. That's the spot where West Avenue meets Man Street, where legend has it he perfected left turns as a teenager. Downtown Kannapolis was dead in 2015 when the city bought it from Murdoch and set out to rescue it. The city developed a master plan, began selling properties to developers, and created a pedestrian plaza along West Avenue where music emanates from the landscaping. The street is lined with shops and a restaurant, a coffee shop, ice cream parlor, a cidery, a brewery, and four-lane bowling alley. Across West Avenue is Atrium Health Ballpark, home of the Kannapolis Cannonballers, a single-A baseball team affiliated with the Chicago White Sox. The Ballers play against 11 other teams in the Carolina League, including the Carolina Mudcats and Myrtle Beach Pelicans. A little more than a half mile from the train stations, the Museum of the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame, with exhibits, artifacts, and recordings from the state's most influential musicians. The Hall of Fame will induct 5 new members this fall, including jazz singer Nina Friedland of Durham and singer and songwriter Stephanie Mose of Charlotte. The Hall of Fame shares space with the Curb Museum for Music and Motorsports, which features race cars and other exhibits collected by country music executive Mike Curb. Hotels within walking distance, the Mill Inn, a 6-room boutique hotel, is across Dale Earnhardt Plaza from the train station at 120 Cannonballer Way. Short ride away is the Village Park. It's about a mile from the station. It features the only double-decker carousel in North Carolina, a train ride, splash pool, and large amphitheater that hosts concerts and movies in the summer. Now, if you bring your bike going to Kannapolis, the Bakers Creek Greenway begins at Village Park and connects with the 8th Street Greenway for a 2-mile loop through local parks. Now our final stop is Charlotte. The skyline of North Carolina's largest city suggests the Emerald City of Oz from a distance, with the 60-story Bank of America building shouldering above the glass and steel towers. Unfortunately, that's the view you get when you step off the Piedmont, which comes about a mile and a half short of actually reaching the center of the city. The station's neighbors include a junkyard, a recycling company, and a local TV station, WSOC, but nothing you'd really want to walk to. That's expected to change in 2025 when intercity passenger trains return to Uptown Charlotte, Uptown being the word Charlotte uses for downtown. A new Charlotte Gateway station will open in North Trade Street, 5 blocks from the base of the Bank of America building. The multimodal station will also be a hub for city buses and include a stop on the City Lynx, or LYNX, Gold Line streetcar, and maybe the future Lynx Red Line commuter train. And then we have the station. The Southern Railway built this station in 1962 at the edge of its freight yard. It replaced a larger Southern Depot that opened in 1906 on West Trade Street, a few blocks from the heart of the city. The new Charlotte Gateway Station will be in about the same spot as the old station. That will be at 1914 North Tryon Street. Now, within walking distance, there's not much, but Uptown Charlotte is just a short ride away. Hotels within walking distance, there are none, but you can check back in 2005 as the new train station opens uptown, and where there are now about 15 hotels outside of the 1/2 mile range. Now, a short ride away, Uptown Charlotte is a short cab ride or rideshare away. If you're on a budget, a city bus stops across the street and will take you down Tryon Street into town. Uptown Charlotte is full of bars and restaurants and the city's main attractions. The Discovery Place Science Museum, the Levine Museum of the New South, the Romore Bearden Park, the Beckler Museum of Modern Art, the Blumenthal Performing Arts Center, Old Settlers Cemetery, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, the Harvey B. Gantt Center for African American Arts and Culture, the Mitt Museum, and the three big sports venues, Bank of America Stadium, where the Carolina Panthers play, Truist Field, where the Knights play, and Spectrum Center, where the Charlotte Hornets play. If you're looking for things to do in Charlotte, just check out CharlotteGotALot.com, CharlotteGotALot.com, or UptownCharlotte.com, UptownCharlotte.com. And if you bring your bike, Charlotte has an evolving and growing network of greenway trails and bikeways. Recent improvements include new sidewalks and bike lanes along North Tryon Street, in front of the Amtrak station. It makes it easier to get uptown. Again, Charlotte calls downtown uptown. And by the way, I want to point out, my wife, when she was teaching, used to take her both her first and fourth graders on the train to Charlotte, and they would go downtown to get off the train and walk over to the Discovery Place Science Museum. And I think they took a bus, is how she explained it to me. So the bus works very well and is on a regular basis. So if you're a teacher or someone who's involved with students, that might be a fun trip to take and learn more about the train as you go along, and also Uptown Charlotte, as it's ever-changing. Last time I was there, right across the street from the stadium, and lots of activity and commuter rails being built. So Charlotte's definitely on the move, as they say. Well, let's move on to ride an Amtrak route that boasts stunning views from the Bay Area to Chicago. This article written by Evie Blanco for Detour, it appeared in the May 14, 2023 online edition of the News and Observer. Amtrak's California Zephyr covers 2,437 miles in 51 hours and 20 minutes on a daily trip between Chicago and the San Francisco Bay Area. It's become recognized as one of the most picturesque train routes in North America. According to Travel and Leisure, Amtrak spokesman Mark Maieri told the outlet that California Zephyr travels through two beautiful mountain ranges, the Rocky Mountains and the Sierra Nevada. Oh, excuse me. Now, in some places, you can see views that can't be seen from the road because a lot of the railroad tracks were there well before cars were invented and roads were paved, Maieri says. Stops are made in several major cities like Chicago, and then there's Omaha, Denver, Grand Junction, Salt Lake City, and Reno, as well as smaller towns like Naperville, Lincoln, Fraser, Glenwood Springs, Davis, and Truckee. Along the route, as it travels daily through Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, and California. The Emeryville stop is technically on the East Bay. However, the Thruway bus service provides connections to both Oakland and San Francisco. There are numerous breathtaking vistas scattered all along the route. Climbing out of Denver, you can look down from the train and be above the mile-high cities. You make your way first through a whole series of tunnels that bring you up to a place called the Fraser and Winter Park, Maieri says. Now, the train continues winding its way through the mountain. Then you pass through Salt Lake City in darkness, but pop out in time to be through Reno when you're in the Sierras. The train ride between Reno and Sacramento is charming, he said, since it follows part of the original transcontinental railroad route built during the Civil War to unite the country. A further component of the route's history is the name itself. The California Zephyr was the name of a train that operated between 1949 and 1970, long before Amtrak existed. The daily departure of Amtrak Train 5 from Chicago's Union Station is at 2 p.m., and its arrival in Emeryville is at 4:10 p.m., 2 days later. Train 6 leaves Emeryville at 9:10 a.m., and it arrives in Chicago at 2:50 p.m. On day 1, they serve lunch and dinner. On day 2, all 3 meals, and on day 3, breakfast and lunch. Coach seats and sleeping suites are only two of the options available to passengers. The smallest of the 5-room configurations offered on the Superliner is the roomette, which ranges in size from 6.6 to 6.8 feet in length and 3.6 feet in width across two decks. The car's two seats can be converted into a double bed at night, and there's a bathroom and shower for all passengers to share. The bedroom, which has twice as much space, is an upgrade suited to guests who want a private bathroom and more room. The space can accommodate 2 adults and has sofa and separate chair that can be converted into upper and lower beds at night, in addition to an in-room sink, bathroom, and shower. Now, the bedroom suite can accommodate a maximum of 4 adults, making it ideal for families. This is effectively the equivalent of 2 standard bedrooms joined into 1 large suite. In addition, there's a family room with a private bathroom and shower, adequate seating for 4 guests during the day, 2 upper beds and 2 lower beds, and a separate sleeping area for 2 adults and 2 children. The accessible bedroom has 2 full beds, perfect for accommodating passengers with disabilities. Now, all Superliner rooms feature newly upgraded bedding, pillows, towels, and linens on the beds. Additionally, the first-class passengers receive a personal first-class attendant, lounge access, and priority boarding. Now, Amtrak offers coach-class seating for those who prefer more conventional seating. These seats recline and have reading lights, electric outlets, and tray tables. There are no middle seats in this configuration. All guests staying in private rooms have access to the restaurant, which serves a seasonal menu with an extensive choice of dishes, from burgers and salads for lunch to omelets and quesadillas for breakfast. In addition to wine, the 3-course dinners feature dishes like Capri skewers and coconut shrimp as starters, Flatiron steak and Atlantic salmon as mains, and chocolate toffee mousse and lemon cake as desserts. Once on board, coach passengers may be able to purchase dining car access if it's available. Additionally, guests have the option of having meals in their rooms. Breakfast items, burgers, tamales, and hot dogs, among other items, are available a la carte in the cafe, which is open to all passengers. Now, the California Zephyr welcomes small cats and dogs with some restrictions and provides checked baggage service and train-side checked bicycles. The beauty of the American landscape is on full display along the entire route of the California Zephyr, particularly through the country's best-known mountain ranges. This is according to Mayeri. The difference between the California Zephyr and some of the other western routes is simply more miles in the mountains. So if you like mountain scenery, take on the California Zephyr between California and the Bay, between Chicago and the Bay Area of California. Evie Blanco, the journalist who wrote this article, has had nearly a decade of experience as a writer in the Dominican Republic. She was raised in Queens, New York, and whether it's the latest pop culture, fascinating foreign destinations, truly amazing restaurants, or breaking news, she says, "I love to write about it all." She did a great job on that tour, right? Well, that, my friends, brings us to the end of today's journey on Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed our train travel series for the last 2 shows, and we'll do some more train travel in the future. And we hope you will be listening next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and we remind you that the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.